Lord, we pray that you would help us, Father, to take what we've done today, or what we learned today, and use it for your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, I don't know. Did I do something? All right. If you have your bulletins, just a couple announcements. Today is Sign Up Sunday. Brother Mark Visser, who's been here before, he'll be here tonight and speak. He is working with Brother Chris Miller on the crusade, or Hope for America area-wide crusade that'll be here Sunday through a Sunday on April the 3rd through April the 10th. And on the back of this flyer, there's six categories where you can get involved and help out. I hope that you'll pray about that and be able to help out at least one night, if not multiple nights, during that crusade. So I would encourage you to do that. This week, Wednesday night, of course, a regular Bible study, prayer time at 7, and the Kids for Truth. And then a couple outreach ministries Thursday night and Saturday. And then be in prayer about the Hope for America crusade coming up. Congratulations to Brother Todd. He's another grandfather again. And Job Ribley. And thankful that Havana is well and the baby is doing well. So praise God for that. And you can see a couple birthdays on the back. Carolyn Johnson and Allison Doris. Having birthdays this week. So any announcements or any questions or anything anybody want to say at this point? Because, you know, I got a lot to say. All right. If you have your continue book, turn to chapter 6. And this week's lesson is entitled Your Relationship with God's Word. And it should be no surprise that there are a lot of verses to be read since we're talking about relationship with God's Word. So I did print them out. There are eight of them, at least eight pieces of paper, which will give everybody an opportunity. So I need somebody to help me pass these out, as well as this week's lessons on the book of Psalms, for us to do for our devotionals this week. So, I numbered those, and just give those, the same, yeah. I numbered the verses. Gets my attention. I numbered the verses because there's so many, and but if you could help me with those today, and read those, that would be much appreciated. Do we turn it off? All right.
Well, turn this off, and I'm going to go to the podium, right?
All right, how's that? And just so you know, I have my phone up here, not so I can check text messages during the, but the clock in the back appears not to be working, so I know that the stop on the right time. If I'm still going at a quarter after 10, you're welcome to get up and walk out. All right, but hopefully I'll be able to keep track of the time and we'll be done before a quarter after 10. Now, feel free to take more than one. All right, just a little bit of review. Last time on lesson 5, we talked about prayer. Anybody have an answer to prayer from this last week? We'll be specific. This last week, something you prayed about and God answered that prayer. Scott? Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Can you help me get out of my pickup and into a more affordable vehicle?
Yeah, praise the Lord. God answers big prayers, little prayers, all kinds of prayers. He takes care of us. Anybody else? All right. Yeah. God is good. And I hope that from our lesson on prayer, if you only remember one thing, remember that prayer is not always a 911 call. It is something that should be a part of our everyday life, something that we do consistently and regularly. So we did learn that prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking for our needs. We're invited to pray. We're commanded to pray. And that prayer is a form of fellowship with God. And we need to make sure that that fellowship is not hindered by things in our lives. So this week, we're going to take a look at your relationship with God's Word. And I like the title to this lesson. It says, your relationship with God's Word. Most of us, and we learned, I believe, in the first chapter, that God's Word is perfect, it is infallible, that it was given to us by inspiration. We know all of those technical things about God's Word. Most of us, if you've been saved any length of time, been in church much, you know that there's a New and an Old Testament. There are 66 books in the Bible, and you know all those technical things about the Scripture. But this chapter is about your relationship with God's Word. And you can see there at the bottom of page 119, the first page of this chapter, it says, in our first study, we saw God's Word is infallible and unchanging. It was written by God's human authors and has been preserved for us. In this study, however, we will see our relationship to God's Word and how it touches us personally. And that's really the important thing about God's Word. You can see at the top of page 120, God's Word is not only true, it is life-changing. And it can meet the deepest needs of your life and answer the greatest questions of your heart. And in this study, it's be divided up into three sections. We'll look at how God's Word meets your needs, how you can access the power, its power and wisdom, and how it will transform your life. So I'm sure most of you know that for any of those things to happen, you have to spend time in God's Word. And that's the most important thing. Look at there on page 121, 120, God's Word can meet your needs. The Bible is profitable for your life. Somebody read 2 Timothy 3:16. Who has that? Scott?
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Notice in your book and in that passage, it talks about four different areas in which God's Word helps us. It talks about doctrine, and that is really teaching us what to believe. It talks about reproof. It shows us where we are wrong. I know I often pray, when I pray publicly, and then when I pray privately, especially for myself, I often pray two things. One, that God would encourage me where I need to be encouraged, but that also God would convict me where I need to be convicted. And God's Word can do that. It will reprove us, show us where we're wrong. Then the third area is correction. It tells us how to get back on track when we are find that we've done wrong. And then it says it's good for instruction in that it gives us directions for our daily living. Remember last time when we talked about the Lord's Prayer, we talked about it's our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that is holy, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then we prayed that he would provide for our daily needs and that he would forgive us of our sin, and that he would give us direction to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All of those things are included in what we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, those four areas, the things that God's Word can do for us. At the bottom of 120. It says, the Bible nourishes spiritual growth throughout Scripture. The Bible is likened unto food, that you eat food for physical nourishment to help you grow physically. And we need God's Word. God's Word is that spiritual food that we need for spiritual growth. Just as a baby will not grow without milk, so a Christian will not grow without taking in God's Word. We should hunger for God's Word spiritually, just as we hunger for food physically. Paper number two, 1 Peter 2:2. That we should desire the sincere milk of the Word that we can grow. I think most of you know that this book we're in is written as a discipleship program for new Christians. We will see later in this book, or in this chapter, that it's not just newborn Christians, new Christians that need to know God's Word, but the Bible also talks about, as mature Christians, that we can feast on the meat of God's Word. And so all of these things apply to us, that we need to spend time in God's Word. It is the final answer to all the things that we face. And so it's important that we make it part of our life. And top of page 121, God's Word should be in our routine. It should be a regular, just like prayer. It's not something that prayer, as I've said, is not a 911 call where when you have an emergency, then you go to God and beg Him for something. Prayer is something we should be doing on a regular basis, talking to God, and Bible reading should be the same thing. We should spend time in God's Word every day. And as it says there in that first paragraph, the last clause of that first paragraph is, it must be a part of your daily living. My cell phone. I think it was John Macbeth one Sunday said something about if we treated the Bible the way we treated our cell phones. I don't go anywhere without my cell phone. I take it with me. When I sit down to watch TV, when we go out to eat, I always have my cell phone with me. When I go to bed at night, I set it near, where I'm sleeping so I can reach it. I keep it with me a lot, all the time. And John said, if we treated the Bible that way, what changes would that make in our life? And I realized that I can download a Bible. And I know that maybe is not the same thing as carrying my Bible, but I have at least two Bible programs on my cell phone. One of them is a program I can actually use to look up, do Bible study, not just read, but I can actually look up concordances, I can look at commentaries, I can actually do some Bible study. And I found that when I'm waiting in a doctor's office or somewhere where I got some time to I don't want to say waste, but when I've got time on my hands, that I won't waste it if I pull out my cell phone and, either read something, read a passage, and, follow along. So, we need to make it a regular part of our day. And in this day and age, that is not something that is difficult. The first blank there on 121 is read it daily. Even as we need physical nourishment daily, so we should daily be taking in the nourishment of God's Word. Somebody read Job 25:12. Who has that one? I'm sorry, Job 23:12. I not only can't hear, I can't read sometimes. Job 23:12. So Job understands, and we all know the story of Job. Job understands the necessity of God's Word that is even more important than necessary food. Reading your Bible is one of the best habits you can develop. And you need to set aside time to read God's Word. And that's not something that's just good for new Christians. Those of us that have been saved a long time, I've been saved almost 63 years. I got saved at the age of 7. I'll be 70 here in a couple months. And I was saved the day after my 7th birthday. So I can always remember my physical birthday and my spiritual birthday are just one day apart on the calendar, and can remember that fairly well. I think Pastor Henry used to say a lot that it's not how long you've been on the road, but how far you've traveled down. And I may have been on the road a long time, but I know in my life I could have traveled a little farther down that road than I have. But I know in my life, in that period of time, there's been times I've struggled with reading God's Word on a regular basis, much less every day. And I'm sure most of us have faced that. But it is important that we spend time in God's Word and that we read it on a daily basis and develop that habit. And as it says in that paragraph there, right after Job 23:12, the very last part, it says it is a lifelong habit of growing Christians. We do need to spend time in God's Word. Now, some brief tips to help us help you gain some from your Bible reading. It's got five things there. One is to have a specific time and place to read it regularly. That's important that you sit down and you do that. Most of us, well, I say most of us. Again, I'm guilty of imparting to you things that are guilt are part of my life. As my wife will tell you, I kind of do things in a pattern. I got a set way I like to do things, and I can do it the same way every day. If you develop a habit of reading the Bible and setting aside a time that you do these things, that will really help in your Bible reading. And follow a Bible reading plan. And I know that is something that has really helped me. One of the Bible programs I have on my phone has multiple types of Bible reading programs. The one I followed last year would read every day a part of the Old Testament. It would read part of a psalm, a portion of Proverbs, and then something out of the New Testament. And the only, and I like that. I followed that through for the year. It got me through the Bible, reading the Bible in 1 year. The only thing I didn't like about that plan was that, especially in the Old Testament, you're reading along about a story. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, they don't, chapters and verses are a lot longer than often in the New Testament, and you're reading along about an account that's being, you know, taking place, and all of a sudden the program stopped and went to reading something out of Psalms. And so this year I'm following a program that where I started in Genesis and just reading through the entire Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I'm in the book of Psalms right now. And I've enjoyed that, especially when you're reading in 1st and 2nd Samuel. But any kind of a Bible program that suits you, that you can follow a plan. And this is, when I do this, I'm just reading it. I'm not stopping and trying to figure out a story or follow. You know, they talk about, you know, chasing rabbits, or, you know, because that can easily happen. You're reading along, and go, well, what about this or what about that? I'm just reading through it. I'm not studying it. When I'm doing that, I'm just reading through the Bible, and that's a good thing. And in this book, there in the back in Appendix E, starting on page 321, there's a one-year plan to read through the New Testament. So if you've never read through the Bible, and you think, man, reading through the Old Testament, you know, I don't know, read through the New Testament. Take a time to read through the New Testament in a year. It's much easier than you might think. But there's a one-year plan on reading through the New Testament that begins on page 321. There's another plan on page 323 on reading through the entire Bible in a year. And I think that plan breaks it up into reading some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament each day. But however you do it, just like we talked about last week, that you need to have a plan for your prayer life, I would really encourage you to have a plan for reading God's Word. And then ask God to guide you as you read through the Bible. So that Psalms 119, verse 18 that's listed there says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The song we sang this morning about open my eyes, that I may see. "Glimpses of truth thou hast for me." That is a great prayer as you sit down to read the Bible, that God would open your eyes to see things. The scripture tells us in Corinthians, Paul wrote that the Bible, or that God's thing, or spiritual things, can only be discerned through the Holy Spirit, and that we need the Holy Spirit's guidance as we go through there. So I would encourage you to pray that God would help you to understand. And then fourthly, if you are reading through and you have a question, write it down. And then ask Pastor Finney. ask one of the deacons here at church, or ask me. I'm one of the deacons and a Sunday school teacher. We have all the deacons are in here this morning, Brother Todd, Brother Carrillo. And but ask somebody that can give you the answers, or help you at least find the answers. And then anybody here, I never have. I'm not good at this last one, but keeping a journal. Anybody here ever kept a journal? I see some of these college kids, looks like they have a journal. They're taking notes during the classes and keeping a journal. Have you ever kept a journal about your devotions? Or just write down, I see Sherry shaking her head. Just, you know, write down something that God, you know, I've been told, I said, I've never done it, and that doesn't mean I shouldn't have, but I haven't. But I've talked to people who've done that, that say that they can go back and read the things that God showed them. I know people who keep a journal about their prayer life, their prayer requests, how God's answered things. All that is good. If you can write it down and then go back and refer to it later. So those are five things that you can do to help you as you read the Bible, help you profit from it more in your life and help it change your life. I've shared with you a couple ways that I have plans that I have used. Anybody here have something they want to share about their own Bible reading program or something you've done that might be helpful to others? Yeah, Carlos?
Yeah.
Yeah, for those online, Brother Carlos has a bilingual Bible, reads in Spanish and English, and how that has helped him to read it in both languages. Not only helped him personally, but helped him in sharing the gospel with Spanish-speaking people. So, anybody else? I know, yeah, Scott? Yeah, I have done the same thing. I think most of us, you know, we're familiar with Genesis 5 that says so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. But there are other passages in Kings and the Chronicles, both of those, or all four of those books, that just seem to go on and on and on with names that are very difficult. And when you start skipping over one name, it's became easy for me to skip over multiple verses, and having it read to me, the Bible app on my phone, my phone will do that. So that was helpful for me too. I'm glad you mentioned that. So anything else? Those are all things that can help us as we read through God's Word, and I hope that all of you will have some sort of a plan in your life to help you in that process. Now, on page 122, the very top, not only should we read it regularly, but we should hear it consistently. I think sheet number four, Romans 10:17 and Hebrews 10:25. Who has that? Scott? The Hebrews passage encourages us not to miss church, to gather together and come together to hear God's word preached. And then I think Romans 10:17 can be very familiar to most of us. And we kind of, anything becomes familiar, we sometimes might gloss over. But don't ever underestimate when it says that hearing by the word of God, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to hear it preached. We need to hear it taught. Even though Scott and I both talked about having Scripture read to us, I don't know if that's exactly what this is talking about, but we need to hear it. We need to hear it taught. We need to hear it preached. And being in church consistently is a way to do that. I also have sermons that I have on a thumb drive, or whatever they call those things. And I listen to those a lot. I used to listen to talk radio a lot. Still listen to it some. But I find listening to sermons is a whole lot better for me, encouraging to me, and instructive. I mean, I can't tell you the things that I've learned and been convicted about as I listen to sermons. So I would encourage you to find a way to do that, not just be in church on a regular basis, but to listen to sermons when you're in your car, and that will help well. The second thing there on page 122 is meditate on it continually. Refuse to simply let God's word go in one ear and out the other. The key to letting God's word transform your heart, mind, and actions is to meditate, or to think on it so that we can obey it. Joshua 1:8. Carol? I think most of us are probably familiar with Joshua 1:8, but it tells us there that we should meditate on God's word day and night. And if we do, it says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. Psalms 1, verses 2 and 3.
Psalms 1, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night.
both those passages make it very clear that meditating on God's word, thinking about it. We've mentioned about a Bible reading program where you're just reading through the scriptures, not necessarily taking time at that point to study it, but you know, as you read through scripture, you're going to read things that are going to spark some questions or maybe some thought, and sitting and meditating, thinking about what it says is very important. And part of that, the blank there after Psalm 1, 2, and 3, is the discipline of meditation is to begin memorizing scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11. Brother Barry? You know, I've been in a play or done things where you have to memorize long passages of anything, whether it's a dialogue or scripture. And one of the ways that I have that I was taught to memorize is to simply take the whole passage, whatever it is, the whole text, and just read it over and over and over and over. The plan I typically follow is I'll try to read it over 5 times, one right after the other, and try to do that not just every day, but multiple times during the day, at least once a day, but 2, 3, 4 times. And so, like, read it over 5 times in the morning, read it over 5 times after lunch, read it over 5 times in the evening, and eventually you have it memorized. You'll find yourself reading it without having to look at the paper that you've got it written on. That's one of the best ways to memorize anything, and that would include scripture. You know, the memory verses that we do on Sunday night, if you'll print those out or write those out by hand or on a computer, and then just read it. Don't sit down and go, I try to memorize it word, you know, word, 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 word. Just read it over and over and over. If you'll do that twice a day, if you do that 5 times twice a day for a week, you won't have any trouble quoting it on Sunday night at church. That will really help. And I would encourage you to do that, to begin to memorize God's word. In the back of our books, there's also a section, and I think it's Appendix C, if I recall, where it'll give you a topic. For example, the first topic is addictions, and the second one is anger. They're all in alphabetical order. Has all kinds of topics, and it gives several verses or several passages that deal with that particular topic. So if you've got a problem with anger, you can go to the back and you can look up those verses. We find verses anywhere, but they have verses specifically to do with anger, and you can begin to read those and to memorize those so that when you're faced with a situation where you're angry, you can start quoting God's word. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, that's a powerful thing that we can get out of God's word. So we should meditate on God's word. We should memorize it. And then at the top of page 123, it says we should study it regularly. Now, for me, one of the things that I like about teaching Sunday school is it forces me to study God's word in a way I wouldn't probably normally do so. I get nervous, you know, standing up here, after all these, and I've taught Sunday school for years. I normally have a breath mint in my mouth because I'm so nervous my mouth gets dry. I forgot the breath mints today, but I have cough drops and they're a little bigger. And when we started out Sunday school today, I almost choked on it, you know, because it was so big. Normally I stick it up, you know, in my, you know, like a little chipmunk, you know, stick it up in my jaw, you know, and gets out of the way. But the breath or the throat lozenges are too big to do that. And, but you know, I get nervous, but I enjoy the benefit that I get is that it forces me to study God's word in a way I wouldn't normally. It would be good for you. Let's say that you set aside time in the morning and you're reading through a passage of scripture, but there's something in there that gets your attention, well, then that evening, you can sit down and go back to that passage, you know, get out a commentary, or there's a program you can download to your computer, you can download it to your phone called eSword that I like. You can look up the Greek words, you can look up the meaning, it has a Strong's Concordance, you know, thing, so you can look things up. It has commentaries, they're not all great commentaries, but they're commentaries you can look at. But I find that helpful. You can study a passage, get a little bit more information. There, in the paragraph, it says, in addition to your Bible reading, church attendance, and Bible memory, you will come across times in your life or areas of confusion where you need to know what the Bible says about a particular topic or truth. The next paragraph, or last part of that paragraph, says, study God's word beyond simply reading it. And you say, well, I struggle enough just reading it. I understand that. But I would encourage you not just in addition to reading through God's word, that you take some time to study either a topic or study a passage, and to get more out of it. Somebody read 2 Timothy 2:15. Who has that? Carlos? One of the pieces of advice Paul gave Timothy was that he should study God's word. And so it would be encouragement to all of us. Middle of page 123, and this will be our last point for today. Apply it faithfully. We mentioned earlier about not just letting God's word go in one ear and out the other. James, and I didn't give anybody this verse, but or this passage, James 1, 22 through 25 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Reading it, studying it, learning it, having all that knowledge in your head, but not applying it is dangerous. We need to put into practice what we learn when we read God's word. And I think sometimes that may be one of the biggest deterrents that we face in reading it, is because of what we learn when we read it. I told you earlier that often when I pray that God would convict me about the things I need to be convicted about. You read through the scripture, God will convict you about something. There's no question. And we need to make those things right. We need to apply it. God's word will tell you that you should read it. God's word will tell you that you should pray. God's word will tell you you should witness. God's word will tell you how you're to live your life. And we need to be obedient to those things. And that's difficult sometimes. But that is part of what God says. So the last blank there says, so read it, hear it, memorize, and meditate on it and study it, but don't neglect to obey it. We should obey God's word, what we see there, what we learn from it. And as we said at the beginning and the next section, it will transform your life. And we'll deal with that next week.